What if I told you that the single most significant graphical leap in PlayStation history isn't actually coming from the console physically drawing more pixels?
Which is pretty wild to think about.
Right. But it's coming from teaching an artificial intelligence to like flawlessly hallucinate them instead.
It just completely flips the traditional hardware paradigm on its head.
Yeah.
I mean, for decades, the industry just operated on this very simple physical equation.
Like just brute force.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you want more visual fidelity, you cram more silicon into the box, you increase the thermal draw, and you just brute force your way to a higher resolution.
But well, the landscape has definitively shifted. We're no longer trying to just drop a bigger engine into the chassis. So welcome to this deep dive, curated specifically for you.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, our mission today is to get you completely up to speed on the absolute cutting edge of gaming architecture. And we are pulling from a masterful, really exhaustive autopsy report published by Tech and Analysis on August 14th, 2026.
Some massive document.
It really is. It tears down the brand new PlayStation 5 Pro system firmware beta. And what we're looking at here, it isn't just a regular software patch.
Not at all.
We're examining how machine learning is systematically dismantling the invisible bottlenecks of console gaming.
Which is the perfect way to frame it, really. Bottlenecks.
Yeah.
Because the history of game development is essentially a history of hiding constraints.
Right.
And to understand how this firmware update changes that, we have to look at the architectural foundation that makes the rest of the system sing, which is the transition to a dedicated neural upscaling model.
Okay, let's unpack this because PlayStation's Spectral Super Resolution, or PSSR 2.0, is now activated by default across all Pro Enhanced titles in this beta.
Yeah, which is a big shift from where we were just a short time ago.
Exactly. It's important to distinguish this from version 1.0. The baseline iteration required manual developer patches on a game-by-game basis.
Right, it wasn't universal.
And structurally, the base neural model had some, very noticeable temporal artifacting.
Yeah, the Tekken report highlights this brilliantly, actually. With PSSR 1.0, you would see this specular shimmering on complex geometry.
Like looking through a chain link fence.
Yeah, or panning the camera across dense overlapping foliage. Temporal machine learning relies on historical frame data. It analyzes previous frames, tracks motion vectors, and attempts to reconstruct the high-resolution subpixels of the current frame.
But when the camera moved rapidly,
Right, the early AI model just couldn't reconcile the history of those pixels fast
which
enough.
led to those weird ghosting trails behind moving objects.
Exactly. It was guessing and, well, occasionally guessing wrong.
But version 2.0 deploys a completely retrained deep neural network that just eradicates those edge aliasing issues.
It's totally gone.
The console takes an internal render resolution of anywhere from 1440p down to even 1080p in extreme cases, and it uses those deep neural weights to output what Sony's engineers are calling a crystal clear 4K native appearance.
And the distinction between heuristic upscaling and neural upscaling is super vital here. Open source solutions like AMD's FSR 3.1, they use human-written algorithmic heuristics.
It's just rigid math.
Yeah, rigid math trying to predict pixel behavior. PSSR 2.0, however, has been trained on massive offline data sets of ultra-high resolution imagery. Think of it like a master art restorer.
I love that analogy.
Right. So if a heuristic algorithm sees a blank spot on a canvas, it looks at the adjacent pixels and just mathematically blends them to fill the gap.
It's just smudging it.
Exactly. But a neural network looks at the blank spot, recognizes the broader context of the painting, and says, "I know what a leaf looks like. I've seen millions of them."
Wow.
And it actively paints the missing leaf in with perfect structural accuracy, 120 times a second.
That is just wild to think about. But I have to play devil's advocate for a moment
Sure,
here.
go for it.
If we take a step back, doesn't relying on an AI to paint in the gaps just serve as a smokescreen? Like, isn't it just an admission that the base hardware simply isn't powerful enough to push true native 4K at high frame rates anymore?
It's a common criticism.
Right, like we're essentially faking the resolution to hide a silicon deficiency.
What's fascinating here is that the objective has absolutely nothing to do with masking a lack of power. It is entirely about the ruthless efficiency of resource allocation.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the PS5 Pro features a custom neural processing unit, the NPU, which handles this entire AI upscaling pipeline on isolated heavily optimized silicon.
So it operates completely independently of the primary rendering pipeline.
Precisely. By offloading the astronomically heavy compute burden of rendering 8 million pixels per frame to the MPU, you totally sever the traditional rendering bottleneck.
So the primary graphics compute units are suddenly liberated from the grueling task of brute forcing resolution.
Exactly. They are free to do other things.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting, because the main GPU now has a massive surplus of compute power sitting idle, waiting for instructions.
And the answer to what we do with that freed up power is unlocking true, uncompromised ray tracing.
Yes. Because if you look back at the base PS5 architecture, ray tracing was always a matter of painful triage.
You always had to choose.
Right. We constantly had to toggle between a fidelity mode, which gave us those beautiful, accurate light bounces and reflections.
But lock the game to a sluggish 30 frames per second.
Exactly. Or we had to choose performance mode, which just stripped out the ray tracing entirely just to maintain visual fluidity.
Well, that compromise is officially dead. By reclaiming that compute overhead from the resolution pipeline, the new benchmarks are just nothing short of staggering.
Yeah, the tech and lab tests show a 2x to 3x increase in ray tracing intersection throughput compared to the base hardware.
Which fundamentally changes the dynamic. Ray tracing stops being a screenshot feature that you turn on just to look at a puddle. And it actually becomes a baseline gameplay mechanic. The telemetry in the report shows games hitting sustained 60 to 120 FPS targets while fully rendering dynamic global illumination, curved glass reflections, and wet asphalt surfaces simultaneously.
The lead rendering architects actually provided a panel quote for the Tekken Report regarding this exact shift. They stated that dedicating neural silicon to resolution fundamentally alters the active constraints of game development, turning high-fidelity 60 FPS ray tracing from an elusive dream into an everyday reality.
Developers no longer have to design environments around baked-in lighting tricks to save resources.
But let's look critically at that telemetry data for a second, because hitting 60 frames per second while staring down an empty hallway with pretty lighting is one thing.
Sure.
What happens when the underlying engine is actually stressed? The report details frame time variance during chaotic multi-character combat, specifically focusing on alpha particle explosions.
Right, like smoke, fire, magic effects.
Yeah, those transparent layers traditionally cripple rasterization pipelines because of massive overdraw. Does the system actually hold up when the screen is just exploding?
The laboratory benchmarking is incredibly robust on this front. The telemetry proves that even during massive overdraw scenarios involving heavy alpha particles, the frame time variance is reduced to near zero.
Wait, near zero?
Yes. The hybrid architecture maintains an unbroken 16.6 millisecond pacing to deliver a flawless 60 frames per second and an 8.3 millisecond pacing for 120 frames per second.
So the frame pacing never breaks?
It doesn't. And understanding the mechanics behind that stability requires looking at the integration between the custom AMD RDNA silicon and Sony's low-level operating system scheduler.
Because they're talking to each other so efficiently.
Exactly. The hardware is communicating with the software scheduler at such an efficient, low-level cadence that the data pipeline to the compute units is never starved. The MPU finishes upscaling the frame at the exact microsecond. The GPU finishes calculating the ray intersections.
That is wild. So we've effectively solved the rendering bottleneck. The game looks flawless via PSSR 2.0, and the frames are delivered with relentless consistency thanks to the freed-up ray tracing overhead.
Yeah.
But if we pivot to the competitive sector for a minute, rendering a beautiful frame at 120 hertz is utterly meaningless if there is a massive delay between a player pulling the controller trigger and the character actually firing a weapon on screen.
Which leads us to the second major bottleneck addressed in the autopsy, input latency.
Yeah. This is a remarkable addition to the firmware because it targets a deeply frustrating, often invisible enemy of professional gaming, which is radio frequency congestion.
The new dedicated esports tournament mode introduces a hardware-level Bluetooth kill switch.
It completely shuts off the internal Bluetooth radio transmitter on the console motherboard.
It forces the DualSense controllers to communicate exclusively over a high-polling USB Type-C physical connection.
Which is huge.
It is. If we look at the latency matrix provided by Taking, the default wireless Bluetooth mode carries an input registration latency of around 4.0 to 6.2 milliseconds.
And that number is highly volatile depending on the RF environment.
Right? Exactly.
Let's contextualize that volatility for a second. If you are competing at the 2026 Esports World Cup, you are sitting in a massive arena surrounded by thousands of active wireless devices.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
You have smartphones, smartwatches, wireless headsets, venue routers, all fiercely competing for bandwidth in the 2.4 gigahertz spectrum. The airwaves are an absolute chaotic mess of packet collisions.
Right.
Your controller is effectively trying to have a whispered conversation with your console across a deafeningly loud stadium, constantly having to repeat its data packets just to be heard.
And that retransmission of data packets is exactly what causes latency spikes. By engaging this hardware kill switch, that environmental variable is entirely removed.
It's like turning on airplane mode on your phone to guarantee you don't get a spam call during a million-dollar business pitch.
That's exactly what it is. Over a direct, wired USB connection in this new tournament mode, button registration latency plummets to a hyperstable sub 1.8 milliseconds.
Wow.
And for players utilizing the premium DualSense Edge Pro in wired mode, the telemetry clocks input registration at sub 1.5 milliseconds. It establishes a perfectly isolated, standardized physical baseline for professional competition.
I understand the competitive advantage, obviously, but wait, I read there's a catch. The Tekken report outlines some severe systemic trade-offs to achieve that sub 1.5 millisecond baseline.
There are trade-offs, yes.
Because when you throw this kill switch, the system actively disables incredibly basic quality of life features. It suspends rest mode background capabilities.
Yep, yep.
It completely shuts off HDMI CEC handshakes. You know, the protocol that lets your console automatically turn on your television or switch inputs.
It does.
That feels like a massive leap backward for a premium consumer electronics device. Why strip out the everyday conveniences?
This raises an important question, really, but the philosophical divide between consumer luxury and professional performance. To achieve absolute zero latency isolation, the low-level operating system must ruthlessly eliminate any potential for a system interrupt.
Even the small ones.
Especially the small ones. Even the microprocessors running in the background, constantly checking if an HDMI CEC ping is coming through the cable, they require minuscule fractions of CPU polling time.
They introduce unpredictable variables into the processing queue.
Precisely the issue. The tournament mode essentially tells the system kernel that absolutely nothing matters except polling the USB port for controller input and pushing the rendered frame to the display.
So it's just pure focus.
Yeah, it highlights a philosophical dedication to the exacting, unforgiving standards of professional players. A tournament player competing for a $1 million prize pool doesn't care if their television turns on automatically. They only care that their input latency sits at the absolute theoretical floor of the hardware.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So we've explored the software magic of the neural upscaling, the massive pipeline reallocation for ray tracing, and the brutal efficiency of the input kill switch. Let's look at the actual physical silicon driving this architecture, because the specification bump is formidable.
Oh, it's a beast.
We're moving from the base console's 36 compute units to a massive 60 compute units on a hybrid RDNA 3.5 architecture.
And unified memory bandwidth jumps to 576 gigabytes per second. Which is heavily optimized with system cache to ensure the NPU is continuously fed.
Right. And the custom neural engine itself is delivering 300 TOPS.
Trillions of operations per second.
Trillions, yeah, at 8-bit integer precision. That metric is crucial because it puts the PS5 Pro in a very specific weight class, completely blurring the line between closed-box consoles and high-end desktop PC environments.
The Tekken report actually provides a direct benchmark comparison between PSSR 2.0 and the dominant PC upscaling tech.
Yeah, and the visual analysis is incredibly telling. NVIDIA's DLSS 3.7 has long been considered the gold standard for clean temporal reconstruction on desktop graphics cards.
Absolutely.
And Tekken evaluates Sony's proprietary PSR 2.0 as trading blows directly with that gold standard, offering exceptional subpixel geometry reconstruction and total elimination of high-frequency noise.
And when they compare it to AMD's open-source FSR 3.1, which we discussed earlier regarding heuristic algorithms, the hardware-driven PSSR 2.0 establishes unarguable superiority in motion clarity.
Which means the console is punching at the absolute highest weight class of PC enthusiast hardware. But, and this is a massive but for you listening, to actually extract that fidelity and witness those benchmarks in your living room, the report outlines a non-negotiable display optimization guide.
This is where the reality check comes in.
Yeah, you have to be running a native 120 hertz OLED panel. You must use a certified HDMI 2.1 cable capable of the full 48 gigabit per second bandwidth.
Don't skimp on the cable.
Seriously. And you need to configure the color space to 12-bit RGB, ensure variable refresh rate is active, and confirm the enhanced PSSR image quality toggle is locked on in the system settings.
Because that downstream synchronization between the console's HDMI output and the television's processing unit is the final ultimate bottleneck.
So what does this all mean? Like, if I buy a PS5 Pro, but plug it into a 10-year-old 1080p TV without VRR, am I basically putting Ferrari tires on a bicycle?
That's a great way to put it. The source material is pristine, but the delivery mechanism completely mangles it.
Right.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the tech and advisory outlook within the report addresses that exact reality. The PS5 Pro, empowered by this firmware, represents an incredibly high hardware investment threshold.
It's not for everyone.
No, it's an incredible value proposition. But specifically for enthusiasts who already own modern 4K OLED panels to support it. If your display cannot natively process a 4K 120Hz signal with variable refresh rate, the vast majority of the frame pacing stability and temporal reconstruction happening on that isolated NPU will simply evaporate before it ever hits your retinas.
The television itself will introduce processing lag that completely negates the 8.3 millisecond frame delivery the console is working so hard to achieve.
Exactly. It demands a complete ecosystem upgrade to justify the architectural leap.
So let's pull all of these threads together and summarize the core takeaway from this exhaustive teardown for you. The PS5 Pro system firmware beta isn't just about tweaking graphics or giving us slightly smoother frame rates.
It's way bigger than that.
We are witnessing the definitive dawn of the golden age of AI-powered consoles. By isolating tasks onto dedicated neural silicon, machine learning is systematically removing the hardware limitations that used to force deep compromises in how games were developed and experienced.
Sony has empirically proven with this beta that dedicated neural hardware is the undisputed future of interactive entertainment.
And for you, the learner, you are now perfectly equipped to understand the mechanical reality behind the marketing buzzwords. When the discourse inevitably turns to arguments over raw compute units or teraflops, you understand that brute force is no longer the metric that matters.
You know how neural upscaling is governing the future of gaming performance?
Exactly. You understand why Bluetooth kill switches are necessary to survive a crowded 2.4 gigahertz arena, and you know exactly why the fidelity versus performance toggle is a relic of the past. You are sitting completely ahead of the curve.
But, you know, as we analyze the sheer efficiency of this custom neural engine today, it leaves us with a rather profound, unscripted thought to mull over.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
If a dedicated neural processing unit can perfectly predict, hallucinate, and paint the missing pixels of a game in real time today at 120 frames per second, well, how long until AI starts generating the actual game environments on the fly in response to your movements, right? Are we just one generation away from games that essentially build themselves as we play them?
That is a staggering thought to end on. We started this deep dive exploring how technological progress used to rely on the physical brute force of dropping a bigger engine into the machine. But as the Tekken analysis proves, the real revolution isn't about the size of the engine at all. It's about putting a genius-level neural network in the driver's seat and letting it instantly rewrite the laws of physics on the track. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the architecture of tomorrow. Keep learning, keep questioning, and we will catch you on the next one.